We are truly grateful to the Lord from the bottom of our hearts for the guidance and leadership of His Holy Spirit. You all know that the scriptures are in all Bibles, in every language, and yet they are only found and understood by those whom God addresses, for whom they are intended, so that they may see and hear and know that they believe biblically and are classified accordingly. I have already said this here, probably also in Zurich, on our last tour, when we were in Heilbronn and Nürnberg, Salzburg, and then in Zurich. We had a particularly long meeting, but it seemed very short to us, and I don't know who was right. One said, I read 64 scriptures. And the other said, I read 74 scriptures. I don't know exactly how many there were. In any case, we had a Bible study and God blessed us. When we know that we believe according to the scripture, that we say what God has said, the Word revealed through the Holy Spirit is sufficient for us all. And we can confess from our hearts, it is not a dead letter, it is a living word, a spoken, revealed word. As our Lord said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. And these words, through the Spirit of God, bring about divine life in all of us. Even all the scriptures that speak of various comings of the Lord must be classified according to the coming that then applies. And I think it is truly an indescribable grace that God has given us, that we read the same Bible and yet have divine understanding. Why is that so? Because we have been destined by God to see, hear, believe, and then also share in these things. It moves me and all of us. We would like to be further along, to have experienced more with God, but we believe that He will not be late. There is a wonderful song, My Jesus is never late. People may be late, but He is not. We have also read that He does not delay, and if He does, then only a little, until the last ones have been called out and have become believers, and the number is complete, so that He can return. Also our brother's thought that our Lord has come, and in His battle, it was not people who lost their lives. Our Lord confronted Satan and the powers of darkness and defeated them and triumphed over them, so that, as has been said, millions might receive eternal life. What a grace and what a privilege that we may believe this. Our brother spoke of the altar that was built and that God sent down fire. How often have I said it? At that time, there were 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of Israel. Today, it is the doctrine of the 12 apostles. It is the altar of God that is erected in the church. And as we have said often enough, the end must be the same as the beginning. And that includes everything. It includes conversion, renewal, the new birth, the baptism in the Spirit, the equipping with power from on high. It includes all the gifts and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It includes everything. Nothing may be missing in the total restoration. I know that there are brothers who have built in a misunderstanding, for there are no such misunderstandings in Brother Branham's utterances. But he says, for example, we have now gone beyond the Pentecostal age. And then brothers have concluded from this that we have skipped it. Never ever. It goes through the same experiences with a difference, not only baptism in the Spirit, but back to the Word. The bridegroom is a Word bridegroom, and the bride is a Word bride. And as we have said last night, many are baptized in the Spirit, even in our generation. A person who comes to Christ, who converts to Him, can be baptized in the Spirit if he only believes it. I said this here years ago in our hymn book entitled The Pentecostal Jubilation. We have many songs by Jonathan Paul. You can look it up. Jonathan Paul, a very old Protestant pastor, experienced the baptism of the Spirit here in Mülheim on a Sunday morning with hundreds of listeners on a Pentecost Sunday. Not only him, but hundreds were baptized in the Protestant Church at that time in 1900. What was it? 1906. 1907, in those years, hundreds of Protestant Christians were baptized in the Spirit all at once here in Mülheim. Jonathan Paul rejected the biblical water baptism until his last day. It was only on his deathbed that he came to his senses and said, "I regret not having been baptized." What I mean to say is this: the baptism in the Spirit is part of conversion. Whether people then progress spiritually or not, what becomes of them or not, whether they are obedient or disobedient, serve God or do not serve God, that is a completely different question. That is why the Holy Scriptures say that we, as obedient children of God, should be fashioning ourselves accordingly. Even now, there are many who are indeed baptized in the Spirit. Why should we not be? When others, who are wrong in doctrine and knowledge, were not nearly as far along as we are, and they simply asked God in prayer to fulfill His promise to them, and He did so. What should happen to us today as we have come closer to God? Do you understand what this is about? The Lord wants everything to be exactly right in the end. The baptism of the Spirit, water baptism, the gifts, the fruits, the life, the walk with God, the interaction with one another, that we, and this was also very good, that we not only ask for the baptism of the Spirit, but that the divine fire also touches our tongues, and that they are purified, so that they can be used by the Spirit of God to be a witness, to speak the oracles of God. For in the beginning there were both Spirit and fire. Each of the 120 received a tongue as if divided by fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. This morning, Brother Rus read from Acts 2 what happened back then. The disciples spoke through the Holy Spirit, and the others understood everything in their own language. Medes, Persians, Elamites, whoever they all were, 16, 17 different nations, heard in all the different languages what one person spoke through the Spirit in one language. So, on the day of Pentecost, a double miracle happened. It was spoken through the Spirit, and it was translated through the Spirit. Hallelujah! Later, they had to pray for the gift of interpretation. And there we have the admonition in Holy Scripture. If anyone speaks in tongues, let there be two, or at most three, and let one interpret. That is actually most biblical. If someone speaks only for themselves and interprets afterwards, it can happen that their own thoughts play a small role, and we certainly do not want that. As has been said often enough, we want to have a pure, unadulterated work of the Holy Spirit after hearing the pure word. And for that, we need the fear of God. Yes, a holy reverence must take hold of us, so that we no longer want to be something or desire anything, but are at the Lord's disposal, so that He may work all things in all. From the Gospel of John, chapter 7, I would like to read from verse 37. John, chapter 7, from verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." A wonderful word from our Lord on the last day of the feast. You all know the story. They asked him, "Will you go up to the Jewish feast of Tabernacles, or will you not?" In verse 6, our Lord said, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." At that moment, the time had not yet come, but a little later it did come, and he went up to the feast on the last day, not on the second, not on the third, not on the fourth. On the last day of the feast, Jesus appeared. Beloved, this is not meant to be a special teaching, but when we read Revelation, and especially the seven church age messages, we find in the last church age message the statement, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Our Lord wants to come in personally. It is not enough for him to be sung about or preached about. He wants to come in. He wants to take dwelling in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And when He has our hearts, He has us completely. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." We are all thirsty, spiritually thirsty, and we have already sung, "Showers of blessing shall fall." And the spiritual rock, which is Christ, was struck, and water flows. Whoever is thirsty can refresh themselves with it. They can quench their thirst. Jesus said to the woman at the well, referring to the well, the earthly well, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. We are here at the table of our God, which is richly set. We can eat and drink and rejoice in our God. For nothing is lacking at God's table. When we think of other times, there were bad and costly times. How little was brought to God's table. Today, we can exclaim with David, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." He sets a bountiful table for us, and we may eat and drink, as it is said of the 70 elders who went up to the mountain with Moses. It is written so wonderfully, they ate and drank, and they saw God. Beloved, already here we want to eat and drink with him, and then sup with him there, and he with us. Who knows the scripture, where they went up and ate and drank with the Lord? I don't know exactly, but in any case, there is a passage in Exodus, in chapter 24. Here it says, in Exodus 24, from verse 9, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink." Praise be to the Lord. He prepares everything for his elect. And we may believe, as we considered this morning, that there are chosen ones. There are those who are called, and there are those who are chosen. Many are called, and they believe what is true for those who are called. Few are chosen, and they believe what is destined for the chosen ones. Everyone can only believe according to the state in which they find themselves before God. One cannot take the place of another, and vice versa. But if we truly belong to God's elect in this time, then we will believe everything, every word from our hearts, and take it in. We will be in God's presence, eating and drinking with him, and we will see his glory. Whether you believe it or not, God is present. And if our spiritual eyes were opened, we would see his glory in our midst. He did not just say it, he keeps his promises. And many refer to it, where two or three are gathered in his name, what should we say? We are consciously and rightly gathered in his name. We have recognized his name, identified with him, been baptized into the death of Jesus, in order to live with him, so that it might be fulfilled. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The word I is such a thing, one's own I. If that is to be given up to death, then we resist with all our might. But without death, without being crucified with Christ, dying with him and being buried with him, there is no resurrection with him and no new life with him. Only when we are crucified with Christ, as Paul said and also experienced, and in Romans 6 it is written that we have been buried with Christ through baptism. We have been conformed to his death so that he may live in us. And then the following is fulfilled. It is no longer I who live, no longer our own ego, our own will, our own being, our own abilities, around which our lives sometimes revolve. But we have died with Christ, been buried with him, and risen with him from the dead on the third day. And Scripture says that we have already been transferred with him into heavenly places. And in this sermon, which Brother Branham preached specifically on this text, he emphasized, it will not happen first. It has already happened. From God's perspective, the entire redemption is a finished work. It is only a matter of a very short time. And then he who is to come will come and will not tarry, as it is written in Hebrews. And in connection with this, heaven and earth will once again be shaken, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And we who have come to faith will hold fast to what God has given us by grace. Let everything be shaken. Nothing can shake us. Why not? Because we stand on the divine foundation, founded on the rock of salvation, which is unshakable. Let the worst waves come. Let the winds rage. But I look up, as we sing in this chorus. How often have we looked at the storm and the waves when we should have fixed our gaze on the one who has the power to command the storm and the waves, be still. Oh, as our brother said, may it be so with all of us, that these hours have strengthened us, fortified us, brought us further with God, that we have made spiritual progress and can now better understand and classify what is happening and going on now. Look, in this place, we do not always speak about the prophet sent by God in our time. But let me tell you, with all our hearts, we have embraced the entire divine message, have taken it in, and have put it into the scriptures from which it came. And finally, we say, thus it is written, thus saith the Lord, so it is. We recently read the passages in which it is written about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God. And then Paul writes, as I teach everywhere according to my gospel, His gospel was the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of God. His word was the word of Christ, and he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," and the word of Christ is the word of God. Oh, thanks be to the Lord, that we do not make two things out of one thing, but have simply recognized how all the prophets and apostles did nothing of their own, but were incorporated by God into his plan of salvation, so that through their ministry all those who would be born of God could also be incorporated into God's plan of salvation. Was that clear enough? The amen was very weak. If this were in Africa, the ceiling would have fallen down. That's how the amen would sound there. Ask our brothers. When they say amen, it takes so long that I can wipe the sweat off my brow before I can continue preaching. Let us go along with everything in our hearts. And today we will thank God together and experience God together. I cannot help but simply say, if such a short sermon was enough back then for God to reveal himself and come down with his Spirit, what should there be on this day after all this proclamation? How should the open heaven be above us here? And we all, with transfigured faces, as Paul writes, reflect the glory of God. He writes to the Corinthians, not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, but we, with open face, reflect the glory of God. What else must God do before fire ignites us? What else must God say or do before we are so overwhelmed that we give him glory with our hearts, mouths and hands? As a songwriter sings, nothing is worse than ingratitude. And I mean, when God has blessed us so richly and visited us so graciously, led us on such a glorious path. Just think where we all come from. One from here, another from there. And the Lord has set our feet on the path of peace. And we can testify, now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have read the passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Something is urging me. I cannot quite find peace within myself, and I want to know what it is. I must read the text again. What concerns me is that the Lord said that the water within us will break forth and become a spring. That is still the passage I am looking for. Who knows it? Perhaps in the conversation with the woman at the well. Pardon? Have you found it? There is a scripture. John 7:37. No, that's not the scripture. Pardon? Yes, I think so. Which verse? Verse 14. John 4, verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Thank God. Believe it or not, the Spirit of God urged me so strongly to emphasize this, and I didn't know where it was at the moment. Here is the point, and these are the words of our Lord. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water. Not only will we drink a little now, but a spring will break forth within us for eternal life. It will begin to flow. But when we drink the water that he is already offering us, did you notice that? Without drinking, there is no spring. Only then does the spring break forth. I will read it to you again. John 4, verses 12 to 14, if you like. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Note, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It is simply that many have not yet understood the process of the baptism in the Spirit. God already gives us of his Spirit. He waters us. And when this drinking sinks into us, then it breaks open. Then a spring breaks open in us that bubbles up into everlasting life. Because we are people who have received eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. According to the scripture, he that has the Son of God has eternal life. And according to the scripture, he is the true God and eternal life. Many want the spring to burst forth within them, but they do not yet drink of the water that the Lord already offers. They do not open their mouths so that the Lord can fill them. Open your mouth, says the Lord, and I will fill it. And then the water goes down, and then it wells up. Then a spring breaks forth within us for eternal life. And when the Lord said there on the last day, Come unto me all ye who are thirsty, yes, then let us come to him now on this last day, in the last gathering, and drink already. Do not be afraid. If the spring is not there yet, it will be there. But you must begin to drink, and then God will begin to work. Then he will begin to open the spring, and then it will bubble up, and then everything will come out. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. These should not just be words written in the Bible. This should be our experience with God today. Let us say what the woman said back then. Verse 15. The woman says unto him, Lord, give me this water. Amen. Lord, give me this water. I want to drink, so that it shall be in me a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Lord, give me this water. Hallelujah. Give me this water, Lord. Give me this water. Amen. Are we all ready to pray and believe in this biblical way and take God at His word? That is the order, to come to Him, to listen carefully to His instructions. First start drinking when He offers it, and then it will become a spring, and it will burst open, gushing forth into everlasting life. Then man has received from God the certainty of having received eternal life, because this spring is eternal and will be eternal and springs up into life eternal. Our God is an eternal God, and that is why He has given us eternal life by grace. Today, the Lord still wants to reveal Himself. Today, He still wants to bless us. Today, He wants us to come to Him and drink. Today, He wants the well of water in you and me burst open and springs up into life eternal. We say, like the woman at the well, Lord, give me this water always. Give me this water always. May He water us with delight, as with a stream, as lovely as the teaching is to us, so lovely. May the Spirit descend and come upon us all. And may God create a truly lovely atmosphere in which we feel free and comfortable, in which we drink and drink, and then witness the spring breaking forth, bubbling up to eternal life. In John 7 we read, "This spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive." We have come to believe in Him. Rivers of living water shall flow from our bellies. This spring shall burst forth in us unto eternal life. A river shall pour forth from the church. In the Old Testament, we read in the prophet Ezekiel that the river comes out from under the threshold of the temple. It comes from the temple. The temple is the church. The river of God must burst forth in the church. It must burst forth in your heart and in mine. There must be a spring for a river to burst forth. Today, we are not only celebrating Pentecost and remembering it. Today, we want to thank the Lord God that this Pentecost experience is also available to all of us. Justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Spirit, and then moving forward according to God's message of this time, then we are in harmony with ourselves, and we are in harmony with God. He, the Almighty, who has called His people together. And once again I ask myself, why do we come from south and north, from east and west, from over 1,000 kilometers away to be here, from Bratislava, from Kitze, from Nice, from the most distant regions of our continent? Do people come just to hear some sermon by some preacher? No, we come and gather before the face of God, and we hear that thus saith the Lord for this time, and these are the true words of God. Praise be to the name of the Lord. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord, writes Peter, but we have a more sure word of prophecy, which shines like a bright light in a dark place. Thanks be to God for the enlightenment, for the teaching, for every revelation of all mysteries of His will and His word, for the revelation of His name. Thanks be to Him for everything. Thanks be to God. Let us give Him glory today in this place. And may it be that someday, if possible, even today, we will be like the Queen of Sheba, who on her way back said, not even half was told me. God has the fullness, and of His fullness have all we received, grace for grace. Even today, at this hour, God wants to confirm His word to us and bless us with a lasting blessing according to His word. To Him, the Almighty God, be praise and thanks, glory and worship, now and forever. Amen.